Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I appreciate your participation this morning. This is kind of a message that is kind of short notice. I had nothing come Saturday morning. Just had an idea. But what we're going to talk about today is having common goals. I mean, it's that time of year, right, where it's the time of year for resolutions. We hear that every year, and I fail every year trying to keep the resolutions I make to myself. But I think, to be more precise, we call it a New Year's resolution. And the truth is, it really needs to be a new life resolution. It would be better if we sought out a revolution than a resolution. Even better yet, a revitalization. Or simply revival. But we need to start somewhere. We know that to start anything, there has to be a beginning. Or some wise guy would put it, the only way to begin is to start. Right? Last Wednesday, our youth pastor, Aaron, he did a youth version of the State of the Union address that Pastor Jim does every year for the General Assembly. He asked the questions, and in his manner, he went ahead and just answered them. Asked and answered. But he did that, and some of the questions were like, you know, such as, who are we? Also, what are we? And what are our goals? And what is the function of the youth group? And the leadership team. Pastor Aaron and we usually chat after we get everyone out to their car safely and try to secure the building up so we don't get in trouble with Belinda. During this time, we... Hi, Belinda. During this time, we share, you know, obviously, kind of some ideas. We bounce off one another from the youth group that night and future events, and just general chit-chat, too. But this last Wednesday, he pretty much told me what the message was going to be today. So I'm just doing what I'm told because I listen to instructions so well. Oh, she'll tell you. He also had already taken credit for the message title, so I had no way out but to humbly give in to this message today. That being said, I know all you know that you know better than that, but the truth is that the message that I have today is inspired from the message to the youth. And after the... Yeah, you know, I always hate sounding like that corny Christian who's always trying to make everything super spiritual. But after hearing the song choices today, I was gladfully encouraged that this is the message for the day. And you will find the parallels between the song choices and what was put down on this paper today to be synonymous. Spiritual and divine. I believe it, and I don't care if you do or not. So the main topic is from the Pastor Aaron's bigger emphasis to the youth, which is setting goals, seeking God. The mission statement, we went over that for New Hope Christian Center, and we're going to cover it a little bit, but the main purpose for youth group, the main purpose for New Hope Christian Center is to equip people to fulfill their purpose through connecting them to God. I could go home off of that one. We find this to be so different in many different aspects and many different ways that we actually connect to God. And there are too many to number because as many people are in here, that has many different ways to be connected to God. We need to connect to others, which is also having many different attributes. And then obviously to release in gifts, to release them in their service or their calling. The connect, release. That is our mission statement here. This is our purpose. Because none of it can be explained in a word. But it's all explained in growth, in action, in commitment, all of those things that go along with a relationship. Now, I perceive, this is me, that a whole lot of what is accomplished on any Sunday morning is a lot like chumming the water for fish. You get the scent in the water to attract the fish to feed. In doing so, the hope is that some will take the bait and get hooked. The idea is that most sitting in a church are enjoying the fragrance and being surrounded by other fish. There is an entertainment element as well as a social element that keeps most fish coming to the scent of the chum, but not convinced enough to take the bait and get hooked. The entertainment value is still of more importance than the eternal value, and that is what is really being offered up here at New Hope. If they would only sink their teeth in. See, the real meat, which is the Word of God and a closer relationship with Him, is what we mostly do on Wednesday nights here. The interest and inspiration are given on Sundays. But the real growth and connection happens in the smaller groups on the other days or nights of the week, in the form of Bible studies, in the form of video series, in the form of luncheons, potlucks, and so on. For the tenderlings out there, that may be thinking my analogy is a bit crude or vulgar or distasteful, and the Starbucks bagel and chocolatey or minty drink feels like it may start swimming upstream. Because the idea of chumming is upsetting to your tummy, I say to you, it's a metaphor. Okay, it's not meant to be literal or actual. It's figurative, but you get the point. Okay, the point to be made is a clear one. No matter where you are with your faith, there is a need for you to grow. A need for more. And in some cases, there needs to be less of a certain discipline to be offset with a different discipline. We call that balance. The way these things happen is by establishing a goal. All the young men shared up they shared up a goal for this year that was in regards to seeking God. They were very impressive goals. I was impressed. Not because they were lofty. I mean, I expected to hear some regurgitated something that was told to them. You know what I mean? Kids like just telling you what you want to hear and then move on. But no, not these young men. It's not because their goals were lofty. It's because they were attainable and easy to implement. That's what was impressive. Especially today, where everyone wants to get out of high school and then be a CEO of a company. You know, they don't want to start where start is. They want to start at the top. No, these young men picked a great starting point, and we're going to hold them accountable to it by checking in with them. The reality is that this is for us all. Setting a goal is only the first step. Now there needs to be a plan. The truth is that when there is no plan, there will be no goal. It will take little effort to create and follow a plan. If there is no effort, though, if there is no effort to seek God, then I say there is no way to seek God. No effort, no way. Goal first, plan second, implement third, and follow through. It will take a concerted effort on every individual's part. It will not happen any other way. A choice and a stick-to-itness. That's my own word there. This tends to be counterintuitive to Americans. And I know that. I'm an American, so I fall right in there. Last time I checked. Now, I remember when I was... Now, this is a nice little story. I remember when I was in eighth grade. And how I dreaded co-ed PE class, because that's when they introduced co-ed PE. It's scary. I mean... Well, I wanted to be around the girls, but not in those assigned gym clothes. Have you ever seen a bamboo shoot in oversized shorts? Yeah, it's not impressive at all. Now, it might date me a little bit, but it doesn't matter because Aaron has convinced the youth that I'm 80. So, thanks, brother. I appreciate that. Anyway, there was an entire semester dedicated to dance. You too, huh? Yeah, great. And this is what's going to date me, is the dance of the day was disco. It was what was happening. I was in it. I mean, I lived through it. So we learned all the current dances to the popular music of the day, and participation was not optional. I know that comes as a shock to today's kids, but we didn't have options in PE. You suited up, you participated, you showered, and you put your street clothes back on and went to your other classes. I know that's just weird today to think that, oh my gosh, they have this... wash their sweaty bodies, whatever. So at the end of the... I digress. At the end of the semester was the big event. Now, this big event was our first school dance. So they had a plan for all of this, right? So, yes, you know, back then it was kind of weird, but boys were allowed to hold girls and dance. And I guess they thought it was pretty safe since I don't know of too many slow disco songs. So, not to my recollection. So here we are, eighth graders, about 6 months away from being the big high schoolers. And it's our official first dance. So what do you think the boys were doing? And how about the girls? Yeah, you guessed it. You're right if you said that the boys were all leaning on the walls and the girls were all out dancing by themselves or with one another. This is, yeah. So the boys, me included, were all watching and wishing from the sidelines until I made the mistake of chatting with my good friend at the time and tell him how I sure would like to dance with Pam. She was the bee's knees. And without hesitation, my buddy jumped straight to double dog dare. We bypassed everything. We went straight to double dog dare. And so I mustered the courage and asked Pam to dance. And I had a good time dancing while I watched the rest of my friends leaning on the walls and wishing. So often I see the wall leaners talk a good game and wish and want to be, they want to be more active, but that is the extent of it. I told my youngest the story of my first dance, and just as I told you, more or less. And I shared with him, the whole point of sharing it with him was the whole world is not going to come pry you off that gym wall. It's just not going to. You have to make a move on your own. And you'll be surprised at the outcome. And I never promised success at every time. But I did guarantee there was definite failure without trying. without trying something. And I think fear is a huge part of inactivity. And the sad thing is mortality is not even at stake. I don't know of anybody in my immediate sphere of awareness that has died from giving their testimony. Or died because they would let people know that, you know, I just don't do that because my faith prohibits me. Or died from just telling someone that there's a better way than the way that they're doing it. Maybe someone out here knows. Anyone? Raise a show of hands. Anyone know someone that died from sharing their faith? One guy. There's always one. But statistically, you look at that, that's pretty slow or pretty low. Pretty low odds that you're going to die from engaging in the faith that you proclaim. Oh, I got down a rabbit trail there again. So, I think a huge part of the inactivity, even knowing that mortality is not even at stake, is fear. And it's not fear and trembling. It's the fear of rejection. It's the fear of humiliation, which relate directly to the eighth grade dance, right? Fear of failure, fear of the unknown outcome, and fear of inability. Now, we know that our God is the one that equips. Now, I've heard it said, and honestly, I'm just quoting someone else. I didn't verify it. I really don't care if it's true or not. It sounds good. But I've heard it said more than once that fear not is mentioned 365 times in Scripture. So that is one Scripture for every stinking day that tells you, don't fear. Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Now I would say here it would seem that the snare is not that of what man can do to you, but the fear of it is the trap we fall into. It is the lack of faith that God will keep his promise. That this fear is what entraps us. It is the fear that has entangled us, not man nor God, but fear. Proverbs 3:6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We combat fear with knowledge. We are allowed to feel whatever we feel and however we feel it, but we are also challenged to fight this feeling with fact. What we know to be true is where we are to stand, and to stand we must. To stand in the knowledge of the God we know, the God we serve. And in and of that is another challenge. You kind of got to know. So, we are to acknowledge God in all our ways. That's what the Scripture says. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your strength. And Jesus answers the question of the greatest commandment in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. We know these Scriptures well. We recite them often through the year. But it says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So in acknowledging God, as in loving him first, then we should think of him first. When we worship, when we pray, but also in our dealings with other people. So what are we acknowledging during worship? Now, I know better than anyone that you cannot get all rigid about behavior within the church on Sunday morning. You start with the this and that program, and then you've taken all the free will out of worship, and it ends up not being worship at all, and it becomes a ritualistic formality that we must get through. That's the reality. So this isn't all about we're going to set rules here. What I'm asking is that you, as an individual, are you acknowledging God in worship during our worship time? Answer that for yourself. Do we treat this time too casual? And I'm not all being judgy here, though I sound that way. I'm simply asking a question, and only you can answer that for yourself. I am saying, you do you, and I'll do me. That's what I'm saying. But what I'm asking is something different. What about your prayer time? I mean, if you look in the book of Romans, it's all over about how to pray, when to pray, what to pray. What about your prayer time? Yeah, you got it. I'm asking you. So you can answer yourself. Is prayer time treated like punching in and out of work? Do you take pause and acknowledge who it is you are talking to with recognition of all that he has accomplished on your behalf, on the behalf of all your loved ones, on behalf of your friends, on the behalf of your coworkers? You get the point. Do you acknowledge him in your Bible reading? Do you look for what is being said and done and how it all connects together as it directs us to Christ and into the will of the Father? Do we dive in to see the Spirit of God or just to be able to quote something to someone at some time? Yeah, these are hard questions. I'm the lucky guy that gets to ask them. But this is the reality check. We set goals. We have resolutions. We have all these wishes and wants. But are we really addressing the one tangible thing in all of it? It's our own personal commitment. Our own acknowledgement. Our own give a care. Have we really gone to the real problem? Or do we keep talking about the symptoms? We all want more. We all say we want more. I'm going to move on. Do we live lives that are separate from what we believe? Or do we simply ignore the inconsistencies? Or do we justify bad behavior because of somebody or some circumstance caused it? Like I said, I'm just asking questions, but I am making a point, I believe. We all have room to grow in our faith and most definitely in our understanding and knowledge of God himself. Because who can comprehend such a great being in his entirety? It does have a great deal to do with acknowledgement because it drastically changes the landscape. It changes our perspective. And ultimately, it changes people. To acknowledge God in all of our ways, then in what ways do we see the lives that we live? James reminds us in the third chapter of his writings that we all stumble and fall. We all stumble in many ways, I think is a direct quote. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Okay, so we've got that established. We know that. If we were to look at David's life, I love David. If we were to look at David's life and not having to look real closely, we can see that he was not exactly perfect. And not even one snicker on that one? I thought for sure that was snicker worthy. He was a miscreant. We know of all the issues he has, and we know that there are more than a few. But nevertheless, even when he had misbehaved, he took it to God. If there was any example that's easy for me to identify with in the Bible, it is David. For no better reason than David is as real a character as you're going to find. I mean, many failures. He wasn't a good father. He had Uriah murdered to cover up his adultery. He got himself into a bunch of trouble. He lived like a hoodlum for some time. But always, David praised God and cried out to God, and he sang to God. Whatever David did, good or bad, he stood before his God with the right temperament and posture. He either answered to God for something or he petitioned God for something, but always in the right attitude. David certainly never apologized for loving God, never apologized to anyone for it, nor did he ever feel that he had to. What an amazing character. If I was to continue with my thoughts on David, I would simply have to say that he acknowledged God in all of his ways. And in that, that just might be why David's called a man after God's own heart. God, you know, I have a lot of duh questions or statements, but they're in here. God does not stumble, nor does he fear, and his ways are not our ways. Duh. We can press into that little nugget and can be strengthened by that, though. If we are still attempting to do everything under our own abilities and our own powers and our own understandings, guess what? If you haven't heard this before, you're going to fall short. Because if we were able to do it in the first place, we wouldn't have to meet here, we wouldn't have to have a Savior, and God would just be this far-off, distant, you know, fairy tale. Because we'd have it all figured out already. Your life would be perfect right now. If you had the ability, it would be done already. Okay. And that's me too. That's why I can preach with such passion. The only healthy fear is the one who holds all of creation in his hands with all of the authority over it. In Psalm 111:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Now, when I was a fresh-cut Christian, right out of the spiritual womb, so to speak, this was hard to swallow. The fear of the Lord is what? I'm getting a bit smarter because I'm scared. That has nothing to do with fear and trembling. It has everything to do with respect, love, and honor. Because in Larry's book, okay, you can agree with it or not, but in Larry's book, those are the three main requirements to loving somebody. Fear, honor, respect. So we fear, honor, and respect God. That's our way of loving him, because not because he's going to doom us or he has the power to do so, but it's more about what he's going to take away. Without a relationship, that is a removal of something. And he's going to remove his protection. He'll remove his love. He'll remove his presence in your life. He will remove things by simply removing himself from you. Because if you don't want that relationship, I don't know about you, if you ever, well, like Pam, she didn't want a relationship with me. And there was no way I was going to make her, and she made as much distance between me and her as possible. Why would she do anything different? Why would God do anything different? A relationship is between two. It's not one making demands and the other one subservient to it. That's not a relationship. That's evil. So the fear that we are to have of the Lord is the fact that we know who he is and we know what he's capable of, but we don't want to miss out on that. We fear losing the benefits of God's glory in our life. We fear not making heaven our home, because ultimately everyone in this room believes that's where they want to go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, because it takes wisdom to understand what that fear is. Have you ever been lost in the grocery store as a little kid? I was 4 years old, and I remember like it was yesterday. Dilly-dallying around, not paying attention. Oop, where's mom? You know, that Safeway store is huge when you're only 4 years old. Never been so afraid in my life. I wasn't afraid of getting hurt or destroyed or getting thrown away. I was afraid that I lost my mom. Do you see the parallel here? I'm afraid of losing something, and that's the fear of the Lord. Amen. So the fear of the Lord is the only subject of this author's list in Psalm 19 that involves a human response to God's instruction rather than a synonym to it. Showing a concept that involves an obedience to God coupled with the attitude of humility and of reverence towards him. This shows us clearly a relationship between fearing God and having knowledge and some understanding of who he is. All right. Preach it, Larry. James 1, verse 2 through 5, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So if we were to take this instruction, break it down, it's joy over fear. Knowledge over fright. What is your big fear in regards to furthering your growth? The growth in Christ. The big fear that keeps you from the pursuit of God's purpose in your life. That nagging knot in your gut that prohibits you from gathering the wisdom from heaven and applying it in your life. Whatever it is, lay it down. Lay it down today. If not today, then when? Because today is the day you choose. And what is your choice? Ask yourself, for what reason did you make that choice? See, wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Every trial is the tool that deepens our faith. Tested faith develops the perseverance, and for what? Just gutting it out? I don't think so. In Proverbs 11:30, says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 16. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, connecting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it says, what you've learned, continue. Now I thought, well, you know, let's kind of bring it in. So we're not Jews here, so we haven't had the Holy Scripture from birth, but from your Christian birth, you have. So from your infancy, your Christian infancy, you have known Scripture, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ, which equips us in everything righteous and equips us for God's plan and purpose for us, for His kingdom, and for all of the saints. Amen? Now you're thinking, wow, you're kind of punching me in the gut here today. Well, maybe I am, but, you know, I'm punching myself in the gut. Because this applies to everybody. We're all short. Nobody's perfect. We're all David to a degree. But are we the David that acknowledges our God in everything? That's where the focus is. Isn't it on the do's and the don'ts, the good and the bad? In order for David to be a man after God's own heart, he had to acknowledge God in everything he did. And even the stupid and wicked crap that he pulled. Can I say crap? Too late, sorry. He pulled some real stuff and was, but in, all right, I messed that up. I was serious there for a moment. Okay. But the point is no matter what David did, it was still something that he took to God and acknowledged him. Now, in his wrongdoing, do you think he was acknowledging God in his wrongdoing? No. But he didn't let it go. He didn't justify it. He didn't blame it on someone else. No. He fell on his face, prostrate. I pulled an Aaron, and I was thinking that just as I said it too. Don't pull an Aaron, and I did anyway. But he was prostrate, basically face down before his God with the reality of how that affected the relationship. Because there's the fear that David had of his God. He was afraid of damaging that relationship. So he took everything to God. He acknowledged God in everything. And so you're thinking, well, you know, that's great. Well, if there's a starting point, I'm going to give it to you. Because, you know, in order to begin, you need to start. Well, it sounds like you need some wisdom in order to know where to start and which direction you go from there. James is a rock-solid dude. I love his straight shooting. He just says in I think it was the first chapter of James. I'm not going to give you the verse. You can look it up. But he basically says, if any man lacks wisdom, then he should ask God for it. Don't ask me. I'll just give you some one-liner. If we could have the music ministry, we'll wrap this up. That'd be awesome. So in this message that Aaron gave to the youth, it was about seeking God. And then it kind of got into the setting goals you know, it's the goal that we should all have, to seek God more in 2023. Seek God more every day. Now remember, if there is no plan, there can be no goal. You can set goals, but if you don't make a plan, nothing's happening. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't make goals. You got to have a goal to make a plan for. All right, I'm going to digress here if I don't continue. So, remember, no plan, no goal, no effort to seek God, there will be no way to seek God. So just remember, no effort, No way. It's that simple. Now the Lord appears to Solomon in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. In the 14th verse it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." If there wasn't a land that didn't need healing like America, then I don't know what healing is. If you were to look at our positioning when we think about seeking God, is the fact that if we are doing our own thing, we are going our own way, God's in our rearview mirror. Because clearly we're not seeking His face, so we're seeking something else. But if we were to turn and face God and start seeking His face, do you know what we just did? You know, by the way, the word turn, if you want to use a Christian term, is repent. But if you were to turn from your ways and start seeking God's face, you've also turned your back on your sinful man. You've turned your back on him. Just like you turned your back on God when you were going your own way. So it's a spiritual, but yet has a physical ramification when you look at it with your mind's eye that, you know what, I have turned my back on God because I thought my way was the better way. But wait a minute, but we know that our ways are not like His ways and our thoughts are not like His thoughts, but yet He's the one that has the keys to heaven. He's the one that has power and authority over every last living thing and inanimate object in the known world, the universe, galaxies. And we think we got it figured out better than that. Turn, seek God's face, and He will show you which way to go. He will direct your paths, it said. He will direct your path. And what a way to go is when the path is already made for you. No more bust and brush. No more hacking your way through life. The path is made. He prepares your way for you. And through His Son, we've been allowed to go spend eternity with Him. And His Son said that I prepared a place for you. God's provided the way. Jesus has provided a place. But yet we think we're going to get there by following our own ways. Well, the scripture says repeatedly to fear not and seek my face. Troubles are getting you down. Sickness, illness, doubt, inadequacies. They're all underestimations of the power of God that He is willing to work a miracle in every situation. Amen. I'm going to squirt here if I don't shut up. Our God is a great God and He is worthy of our acknowledgement. And today we are going to commit ourselves, or we are not going to commit ourselves. My hope, my prayer, is that when you leave this place, you're going to remember that our God is the impossible doing God that can do anything beyond your understanding, beyond any physical limitation, any mental limitation. You think that guys like me get up here and we just, woo, man, this is easy stuff. This is hard. I almost said a bad word, Jim. This is hard. Let me give you a little taste of how hard it is, just so you know that this is my faith. When I was 17 years old, I had committed that I hated people. I hated all people. I'm not going to go into details. And I remember sharing that and being proud of the fact. But then at the age of 33, I'm going to squirt. At the age of 33, God found me. And if you want to know the whole story, it's a great testimony. It involves me and my wife. when God sent someone to tell me I was going to be a preacher, I told him in not such a nice way to go away. Because there's no way. There's no way. I hate people. And I think it's reciprocal. But because of God, because of His Holy Spirit, because of His wonder-making ways, I stand before you today telling you that this is the time that whatever you got going on, it ain't greater than God. Whatever you think you can't do, you're listening to the wrong voices. We need to shut out the loud talking and listen for that still small voice that says, not only are you capable, you have no idea of how much. But it is by me that I will make this happen. And you will be amazed. Or I am not the God that I say I am. I'm going to keep going. Here's the thing. If you don't have a right relationship with God, or you think I'm full of baloney today, or you think I'm rambling on too long, put it to rest and acknowledge God. Lay it down. If there's anyone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior today, then now's the time. Today is the day. You choose this day who you serve. When we acknowledge God, we stop acknowledging ourselves first. We love our God with all of our mind, all of our heart, and all of our soul, and our strength first. And because of that, like you've heard a million times, then we can love our neighbors, we love ourselves. But you know what? In that process, we have to understand, and I'm not going to go on some Whitney Houston thing about you need to love yourself, but when you realize the value that God has put on you is by demonstrating His love at the cross, then you can love yourself as He does. Surrender. Today. And if you don't know Christ, I will be in the back over there, and I'd be more than happy to lead you in a prayer so you can begin seeking wisdom today. Come find me if you need me. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day has your blessing on it, Lord, that we would take from this message today what you have us, for each and every one of us, our own nugget, Lord, that we would then take that nugget out into the world, Lord, that you would equip us because you said you would, that you would empower us as you said you would, and that you would instruct us and guide us, Lord God, and prepare a way for us, God. We just surrender to you and your will today. We surrender to your authority and we submit everything that we have back to you, that your way and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. God, we just pray a blessing on those who are not here, those who are sick. We lift up every single need, that you would heal those who are sick. Lord, that you would strengthen those who are weak. We lift up those who are just not well. In whatever form or fashion it is, Lord, we pray your healing hand upon them. And that your name be lifted up and glorified through the process, that you be honored, that the testimony would go forth and further your kingdom according to your plan and your purpose and your perfect will. And Father, thank you for your love and for your mercy, for your grace, for your patience with us, God. Father, shape us and mold us. Grow new hope here. That new hope, Christian Center, would be a place of growth, not just for individuals, Lord, but as a church, that we would learn to live according to Spirit and truth, that we'd learn to live according to your word and your way. God, we just pray a blessing over every member and every family represented by New Hope Christian Center, that you be glorified and that your name go forth. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.